Okay, one project we've got going on involves a new form of aerobrake. The typical reentry vehicle has insulation over the whole of its front side. The area of the capture area of that vehicle is basically tells you how much area you have for creating drag. If you have a certain velocity change to create, you've got to go down to the appropriate density in the atmosphere to get enough drag. Well, if it's a smaller vehicle, you've got to go much deeper in the atmosphere, the heat transfer becomes much higher. NASA are looking at ways of towing giant brakes behind a re-entry vehicle, and these can be up to sort of kilometers diameter, which are basically inflatable balloons which allow you to just skim the atmosphere, picking up the occasional molecule and losing your heat transfer in a region where losing your velocity in a region where there's very little heat transfer. Some of the figures here illustrate why it might be worth doing. If you just look at the right-hand columns here, a re-entry for various missions of various planets, the conventional re-entry mass shape here, the mass of a volute-type inflatable object here, is down typically by about 50% from the conventional. That's the incentive for doing this sort of work. JPL have looked at it at suborbital speeds, and we've had a contract with them to test it at superorbital speeds. What we're looking at here is this little sphere at front is a simulated spacecraft. This ring in the back is basically a big wrapped around donut, the aerobrake, and we're taking pictures of the flow in different gases for different missions to try and reconstruct the flow field and see how they'll work. One big problem with these is you have a wake behind the spacecraft, and if you're braking, if your towed brake has to fly through that wake, it'll be unstable. So if you have these things with a hole in the middle, possibly your wake can go through the middle and it'll be fine. A problem with that, though, is maybe you'll choke the flow in the middle, and that's the subject of another research project. Coupled with this stability problem is the need to measure three components of aerodynamic drag. This is what we're doing for, in fact, it's the Pathfinder mission. The Mars Pathfinder was a very blunt capsule of that shape, and it had 2 points during its re-entry of potential instability, where if you have an inclination to the flow, typically your aerodynamic forces on that side increase more than on the other side, and it returns to its stable position. They are located 2 points on the Mars Pathfinder, where actually a 2-degree deflection actually caused the forces to reverse. They would get worse and worse and would crash. They got around that problem not by reshaping the craft, but by actually spinning it higher. On the flight, as they came through, they did actually, with accelerometers, they were able to measure that instability. Because they had enough spin, they got through it without any problems. We want to be able to measure these things experimentally before you fly. So what we have here is a three-component force balance. So the struts are positioned so that we have enough information to pick up lift drag and pitching moment. This is the MUSA-C capsule being tested in one of our expansion tubes, X2. This is the Mars Pathfinder at angle incidence, measuring those characteristics. The Mars flew into Mars Pathfinder, of course, was going to Mars, so we had to test that one in carbon dioxide. The MUSA-C capsule was coming back to Earth, so we tested that in air. This is a picture of our force balance with the MUSA-C capsule on the front of it. It's very difficult to measure these forces. The stress levels are fairly low, so you need high gain amplifiers. You need big wide bandwidth in order to get response time high enough. That all leads up to a lot of input noise, and the basic process of deconvolving it is also noisy. We had to protect, and the flow coming through it is ionized because it's going so fast, so there's a lot of electrical rubbish coming in to be picked up. It's very tricky setting it up just right. This one wasn't quite right, so we had to put an extra insulating layer on the outside. What you see here is actually a well-known type of contraceptive device, which turned out to be the most effective means of insulating it. We stretched it over. It was very good. Like most of these things, it was used once only. We had to change it every shot. As far as I can tell, it was the best way of doing it. But I think the sort of lurid purple colour was a bit over the top and sort of kinky. Apart from that, it's quite justified. No. The biggest problem we've had, actually, was claiming the money back from purchasing. They just couldn't. We had to subsidise that. These are typical signals. This was a zero incidence condition, where zero incidence, of course, there should be no lift, no pitching moments or lift. That's our zero lift along there. It's got a different axis. And these are the drag components down the bottom compared with aerodynamic predictions. So that worked very effectively.